2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled. His name was Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There's still a son of Jonathan. He's lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honour. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for surely I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet.
Well, welcome back to our fourth week in our series titled More Than Enough, Resting in God's Grace. And in this series, we've been looking at men and women in the Bible who have encountered the grace of God. Unlikely people whose lives have been turned around through one encounter. And today, we're going to be looking at a character called Mephibosheth, and the same thing happens to him. But before we start, I would just love to pray for us. So let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you for another week. We thank you for your word, that you speak to us through your word. And we pray this morning, or this evening, whatever time we were listening to this to, that we would have open hearts for you to speak to us now and show us whatever you would like to show us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of today's message is An Unlikely Place at the King's Table. And we've just heard our reading about Mephibosheth, this character. He's not a well-known guy. He's not a Moses or a David or a Jesus or a Peter or Paul. It's a very short story, but I think it's a beautiful, beautiful story of God's grace. and some background for us, just to remind ourselves of what is happening. So in the passages we read, King Saul, who had been the king that the people of Israel had asked for, has just passed away in battle. And his son, Jonathan, also passed away. At that time, when there was a new king, the old kingly line was at threat. And David was the new king. We heard about it a few weeks ago, where Mark told us about how this unlikely man was anointed to be king, and now that had happened. David was on the throne. Some had already declared him king. And Saul's family were scared, because they knew they were a threat to the throne. They were descendants of Saul. Some people really still supported Saul and may have wanted to put them on the throne instead of David. So Mephibosheth is just 5 years old, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan. His nurse picks him up out of love to take him away to hide him, to take him to let him escape, because they thought he was going to die. But when this happened, this horrible, horrible accident, and somehow he falls, we don't know what happens, either his legs or his spine were affected. And the Bible tells us, my version is the ESV, and it says he became lame. So this poor boy, who just lost his grandfather, just lost his father, and now he's just lost the use of his legs, as well as his home, as well as his status as being one of the king's family. Mephibosheth, a son of Jonathan, crippled in his feet, one of the verses tells us. You see, to be lame in that day, so to have a disability, is a language we would use now, it was regarded as really, really shameful. For the priests of the time who worked in the temple, if they were lame, they could not go into the temple. They couldn't do their job. Often people would have thought if a person had a sickness or a disability, that they had sinned or their parents had sinned. We see this even in Jesus' time, like years, years, years later, in John chapter 9, when Jesus encounters a man born blind. And his disciples, so they were ordinary Jews, they said to Jesus, who has sinned? Was it this blind man or was it his parents? And Jesus uses it as a teaching point to say, actually, that is not what's happening. It was not a result of his sin. But this story shows us how people would have been viewed at the time. It was shameful. They thought they'd done something wrong. People looked down upon them. Where Mephibosheth had been hidden was in a place called Lo Debar. We see that in 2 Samuel chapter 9 at verse 4. That meant a place of no pasture. It was like nothing, a place of nothing, a place of nothingness. So a lame man, a place of nothing. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, we see that he calls himself a dead dog. Now, dogs in our society, they're man's best friend. We love them. They're part of the family. If they die, we honour them, we bury them. Sometimes we have those pet headstones. But at the time, that was not the case. I've been to the Middle East, and there's sometimes some pets, pet animals, pet cats, pet dogs. But really, they're scavengers. They run around the streets and they're vermin. And this would have been the case in the time of David, in the time of Mephibosheth. Dogs were not what you wanted near you. And to be a dead dog, to be dead, to have an animal carcass was considered unclean. If anyone touched it, they would have been considered unclean for a period of time. They couldn't have gone to the temple and made sacrifices. Basically, a dead dog would be something you would never, ever go near. You would want it as far away from you as possible. And this is how Mephibosheth saw himself, a dead dog. But in the story that we read, we see that everything is about to change. So David is actually looking for a descendant of Saul. We read in 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And in 2 Samuel 9 verse 3, "And the king said, is there not someone of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God to him?" And I just want to look at this word kindness, which is in Hebrew was hesed. And it means many things. It means kindness, but it also means steadfast love, compassion, faithfulness, mercy, grace. It's a word that actually you see everywhere throughout the Old Testament. It's just we see it in English and it's written different ways. Because you see, one word, kindness by itself, doesn't do it justice. You need all these words and probably more to You need all these words and probably more to actually describe what hesed is. It sums up the love God has for his people. It's a covenantal term. You see, Israel, God's people at the time, were in covenant with God, with Yahweh. He was their king, he was their Lord, he was their God, and they were his people. And David here is also speaking in covenant language, because his friend was Jonathan, who was Mephibosheth's father, Saul's son. And David had promised not to cut off the steadfast love from Jonathan's house forever. And so he wanted to keep his promise and show the hesed, love, kindness, compassion of God. And everything changed for Mephibosheth. We read again 2 Samuel chapter 9. We read in verse 7. So Mephibosheth has come, he's in David's presence. And it seems that he's scared. He's probably still thinking, it's years later, but he probably is still thinking that David may want him dead. He was still a previous heir to the throne. But David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." He's gone from a place of shame to a place of honour. And more than this, I think he's gone from being an outcast, someone really despised that no one would go hear, that dead dog that we were talking about, to being someone who belongs. And I just believe this is God's heart for people on the margins, God's heart for people who think there's not a place for them. There's a verse I'd love to read from Zephaniah chapter 3, 19 to 20. This is the prophet Zephaniah, so it's God speaking through this prophet to his people. These people were soon to be judged and put into exile from their land because of their sin. They've broken their promise to God. But God is still giving them hope. He says, "I will save the lame, gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." And I think this is God's heart. "I will save the lame, gather the outcast, change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." And I think this is God's heart for Mephibosheth. He restores honour and hope because that is who he is. And it says in verse 10, "So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons." So imagine this. You're at Buckingham Palace. you're sitting there eating with all the royals of our day. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I think I would mess up the cutlery and use the wrong fork or the wrong knife. But it would be an amazing, amazing honor. But actually, we see that what has happened to Mephibosheth is more than honor. Suddenly, he belongs in the family of the king. I'm going to read a quote for us. It's by a guy called Charles Swindoll in his book on David. And he paints a picture of what life must have been like after Mephibosheth joined David's family. And it's on the screen, but I will read it out. It says, "The meal is fixed and the dinner bell rings. And along comes the members of the family and their guests. Amnon, clever and witty, he comes to the table first. Then there's Joab, one of the guests. Muscular, masculine, attractive, his skin bronze from the sun. Walking tall and upright like an experienced soldier. Next comes Absalom. Talk about being handsome. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, there is not a blemish on him. Then there is Tamar. Beautiful, tender daughter of David. And later on one could add Solomon as well. He's been in the study all day, but he finally slips away from his work and makes his way to the table. But then they hear this clump, 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 clump. And here comes Mephibosheth, hobbling along. He smiles and humbly joins the others as he takes his place at the table as one of the king's sons." There we see the grace of David, but really the grace of God that has changed everything for this one man. And what does this mean for us? Because these stories are great. They're great to read. They're great to learn. But actually, it's the Bible. God speaks to us through his word. And he wants us to take things away and to learn things. And when I read this story initially, the first thing I was reminded of was the gospel. You see, Mephibosheth, he was destined for death. If it wasn't for grace, another king would have probably killed him. Or at least he would have been stuck off on the side, in hiding forever. But suddenly the grace of one king changed the course of his life. And it reminded me of this verse in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, Mephibosheth really was destined for death. And we are destined for death because of our sin. That's what is our future. But grace. But God. But the free gift of God is life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, we're no longer destined for death if we're in Christ, if we believe in Jesus and what he did. Romans also talks about how we are heirs with Christ. Like Mephibosheth, we're suddenly in the family of the king. And I also was remembered of the parable of the great banquet. I won't read it, but you can find it in Luke chapter 14. And it's the parable that Jesus tells about a master who invites all of these nobles, all of these high status people in society to a big, big feast. And they all make excuses and they don't come. So he sends his servant and he says, "Send for the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Send for them and invite them to my banquet." And these people, they probably would not have believed what they were being asked and what they were being invited to. They probably didn't think they were wanted, but they were wanted. They did belong because the master wanted them there. And they were the ones who said yes. You see, when we realize our need for God, even when we feel like in this world we don't belong, there's a place for us with God. Because in this parable, Jesus makes it clear that he is the true master of the banquet. His table is the table in heaven, like the kingdom of heaven, like with Mephibosheth being able to sit at the table of King David, we can sit at the metaphorical table of the King Jesus. There is a place for us. We may see hindrances, we may see that our challenges, we may think that we're nothing, the world may tell us we are nothing, but with Jesus, he sees us differently. And again, what does this mean for us? I have two questions I would like to end on for us to think about. And the first one is, are we in a place where we are living in shame or feeling like we don't belong? What is our view of ourselves, your view of yourself? Do we see ourselves as a dead dog? Maybe we'd never call ourselves that. Maybe there's other words that we use for it. Maybe we just think we're not enough. Maybe we think we look at other people and compare ourselves and just think we can never be enough. We can never be significant. Maybe words have been spoken to us or about us. Maybe we think we have something wrong with us. Society tells us there's something wrong with us. Maybe we look at our upbringing or our background. Maybe even our economic status, or maybe we have our own disability or our own illness, things that hold us back from some of the things in this world. Sometimes it's even our own sin, our own choices, our own mistakes. Sometimes these things, we feel the shame because we know our need for a Saviour. But the thing is, with God, there is always grace. There is always a place at his table and a place in his family. All we need to do is say yes. So what does resting in God's grace look like for you and for me today? And the second question, the last question, how can we show the hesed, so the kindness, the steadfast love, the goodness of God to those around us in our worlds, in our lives? You see, for Mephibosheth, it wasn't God coming in an audible voice or a burning bush. Actually, it was David saying, how can I show the kindness of God to a descendant of Saul? It was through a man. And so through you and through me, we can show the hesed love of God. And who are the people in our lives that need to know there is a place for them to belong to? And maybe God will start to bring names of people we know that he wants us to reach out to just say, hey, there's a God that loves you. Or just to show them love through an action. And I'm going to end, but I would just love to pray for all of us for these two things. So inwardly, is there any shame in our lives? Is there any areas God wants to highlight and show us that we belong with him? There's a place for us. And are there any people that God wants us to show his love to? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the story of Mephibosheth, a man whose life changed completely because of your grace. And Lord, we thank you that that's the same for us today. However we feel, however we feel about ourselves, whatever people have said about ourselves, you don't see us that way. You bring us into a place of honor, into a place of life, into a place of hope. And Holy Spirit, would you do a new thing in us today to bring new hope for ourselves and who we are in you today, God. And Lord, would you bring to mind any people, even right now, that you want us to reach out to, maybe this week, maybe today, maybe this coming year, you want us to show your love to. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your word. Continue to speak to us over this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.